Hello, everyone. Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
I bring greetings from the headquarters of our Heavenly Father, Jerusalem, Israel. I'd like to start by reading a psalm about Jerusalem. It's Psalm 122. It says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of
Yahweh.
Our feet shall stand within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is joined to itself. Where the tribes go up. The tribes of Yahweh. Unto the testimony of Israel to give thanks to the name of Yahweh. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love you. Peace be within your walls and prosperity within your palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be to you. Because of the house of Yahweh or Elohim, I will seek thy good. So the word commands us that we should be praying for the peace of Jerusalem. And it talks about the tribes going up to Jerusalem. Who are these tribes? You know, there's a great promise that Yahweh made to Abraham. Let's go back there to Exodus 12.
And
Genesis 12, excuse me. He says, now Yahweh said to Abraham, get out of your country and from your kindred and your father's house into a land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you. And make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you. And I will curse them that curse you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And this is one of the first messianic prophecies of the Bible. If we go to Genesis 17, he says, and when Abraham was 99 years old, Yahweh appeared to
Abram
and said, I am El Shaddai. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenants between me and you, and you will exceedingly multiply. And Abraham fell on his face. And Yahweh talked with him. He said, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you. And you shall be a father of many nations. Neither shall your name anymore be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made you. And I will make you exceedingly fruitful. And I will make nations of you. And kings will come out of you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your seed after you.
ndiko lindagana yange kwa katiwo nange nensigoyo elidao
in all their generations for an everlasting covenant to be Elohim to you and to your seed after you, and I will give you unto you and your seed after you the land where you are a stranger. All the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their Elohim. Now this is a very, very important promise of our Heavenly Father. He said to our Heavenly Father that through the seed of Abraham,
agamba, Abraham
that he would give them children greater than the sand of the sea. Now the Muslims believe that this promise was through
Ishmael.
But was this promise through
Ishmael?
No, let's read who that seed is, who the promise is through.
Verse 19.
And Yahweh said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear a son indeed. And you shall call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him, with Isaac, for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And for
Ishmael,
I've heard you. Behold, I blessed him. And I will make him fruitful. Thank you. And I will make him fruitful. And will multiply him. 12 princes shall he beget. And I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish between
Isaac,
which Sarah shall bear to you at this time next year. So we see very clearly the covenant of Yahweh was through
Isaac.
And we know the covenant is spiritual. But it's also very physical. So physical that Yeshua had to come down from being God and become a physical man, just like me. Let's go to Galatians
3.
Galatians, the third chapter.
Galatians, the third chapter.
And in verse 15. Says, brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no man can disannul it or add to it. Now as to Abraham and to his seed, were the promises made. He said, not and to seeds as to many, but as of one. And thy seed is the Messiah.
Amen.
So we see that. Let's start from the beginning again. Does everybody know what a covenant is? I said yesterday that through your life, you've been taught a lot about religion.
Batu pakire dini twazi yonkane kumabere gaba mama.
But you don't find religion in the Bible.
Na yemu Bible muno temuli dini webale kuyonka.
What you find in the Bible is covenant relation.
Mu Bible osala munkola gana za ndagano ngazilize twakoleranga masabo.
And as Pastor was talking about, the New World Order is trying to do away with covenant relationships. And a covenant is an agreement between two parties. And the most sacred covenant is a blood covenant. There's no more sacred covenant in the world than a blood covenant. That's why even marriage is a blood covenant. And in the Bible, the woman had to bring the sheet as her sign of virginity on the wedding
night.
Because it's so sacred. And the covenant that Yahweh made with
Abraham
was also a blood covenant. But it was also a physical covenant through the physical seed of Abraham. When you look in the
Bible,
you only see covenants with the nation of
Israel.
The only time there's covenants with Gentile nations is after the Messiah appears. But before that, the covenant is only with the house of Israel. To Abraham and his seed
Isaac.
Now Isaac had a son called Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. And Israel had 12 sons. The sons of
Israel.
Now the Jewish people today in
Israel,
they're only one son. The son of Judah. But there's other sons of Israel. Reuben was the firstborn. Reuben was the firstborn. Joseph or Yosef in Hebrew.
Yusuf, we talk Luganda one.
Dan and Asher and Naphtali.
But Dan, but Naphtali, Asher.
Zebulon and Levi.
Zebulon, Levi, avamu Aaron, neva Musa.
Benjamin.
Benjamin.
There's altogether 12 different sons.
Abana abo bali 10 na babiri.
But most of us only remember the one son Judah.
Na yaba singa tujukira ko Yuda kubanga ya singo kwatikirira.
Now if someone were to ask you, who was the new covenant made with?
Singango mtu akubuza, endagane mpya bajikola nani?
What would your answer be?
Odamochi.
The pastors have lied to you.
Abasumba abalimba.
And they say the new covenant, the church has replaced Israel.
Nebagamba mbo, endagane mpya katonda yajikola na kanisa, Israel itachaliwo obabulimba.
But I challenge you. A matter of fact, I'll give $100 if you can show me one scripture that says the church replaced Israel.
Singo paye chawandikiwa chimu, tikakati Israeli katonda yajivako, aliku chachi kanisa.
Don't worry, I don't have a lot of money to give away that easy. You're not going to find it in your Bible. The Bible never says the church replaced Israel. Let's go to Hebrews 8 and let's see who was the new covenant made with. I'm going to start in verse 7 of Hebrews 8. For if the first covenant had been faultless,
kale singa endagaano eyasooka teyaliko musango,
then there would be no place for a second.
Tewandibaddewo obudde bwakola mpya.
But finding fault with them,
naye olw'okuba yaliko ebyokunenyezebwa,
behold the days come, says Yahweh,
laba ennaku zijja, bw'ayogera Yakuwa,
that I will make a new covenant,
ndikola endagaano empya,
with the house of Israel,
n'ennyumba ya Isirayiri,
and the house of Judah,
n'ennyumba ya Yuda.
Who is he making a new covenant with?
Ani gwakola naye endagaano empya wano?
Does it say the church?
Agambye kanisa abamawanga.
Does it say the Gentiles?
Bwagambye ti abamawanga.
He's making a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah.
Akola endagaano empya n'ennyumba ya Isirayiri n'ennyumba ya Yuda, kitegeeza ebika biri ekkumi n'ekimu n'ekimu ekya Yuda.
Not according to the covenant I made with your fathers in the day I took them out of the hand to lead them from Egypt.
Singa endagaano gye nakola ne bajjajjaabwe nga mbakulembera okubajja mu Misiri.
Because my covenant they broke.
Kubanga eyo baagimenya.
For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says Yahweh.
Naye endagaano gye ndikola n'ennyumba ya Isirayiri oluvannyuma lw'ebiro ebyo, bw'ayogera Mukama.
I will put my laws in their mind.
Nditeeke amateeka gange mu birowoozo byabwe,
and I will write my laws in their hearts.
Nempandika amateeka gange mu mitima gyabwe,
and I will be Elohim to them, and they will be a people to me.
Nembera Katonda wabwe ne babeera abantu bange.
And no man will have to teach his neighbor.
Tewali wa muntu agamba ati yasomesa muliraano wawe.
Nor every man his brother.
Ne wakubadde omuntu muganda we.
Saying no Yahweh.
Ndimanya Yakuwa.
For all will know me from the least to the greatest.
Kubanga buli omu alimanya okuva ku muto okutuuka ku mukulu.
So very interesting, we see two things from this scripture.
Kati ndowooza olaba ebintu bibiri wano mu byawandiikibwa.
Number one, the new covenant
ekisooka endagaano empya ekolebwa
with the house of Israel and the house of Judah.
Ekolebwa n'ennyumba ya Isirayiri byebika kumi na kimu n'ennyumba ya Yuda kyekika kya Yuda.
And the law is not done away.
Amateeka tegavuddeewo.
It's going to be written on our heart.
Naye gagenda kuwandiikibwa ku mitima.
Now think a minute.
Kati njagala olowooze.
What has the church been telling you all these years?
Mu kanisa babadde bakugamba ki? Bukyoka tulika ate n'ovaayo n'olokoka.
Two lies.
Bulimba bw'emirundi ebiri.
The first lie that the church replaced Israel.
Obusooka bakugamba mbu ekkanisa yeyadda mu kifo kya Isirayiri.
Which we read is not true.
Ekyo tukisomye tekiriiyo.
And the second lie that the law is nailed to the cross.
Obulimba bw'okubiri mbu n'amateeka Yesu yagakomerera ku musaalaba nakyo bakikugamba bulijjo.
Which is also not true.
Obwo nabwo bulimba buva geena.
And when I tell people I keep the commandments,
bw'engamba abantu nti nkuuma amateeka,
sometimes they say you're legalistic.
Bagamba mumanyi muli Bayudaaya mmwe mukuuma amateeka mmwe.
But I say, what is the opposite of legalistic?
Ne mbagamba nti kiki ekikontana n'okubeera omukuumi w'amateeka?
Illegal.
Kugamenya.
Do you want to be legal?
Gw'oyagala kubeera agakuuma?
Or do you want to be illegal?
Oba oyagala kubeera agamenya?
Timothy was telling us on the way over that when somebody steals here in Uganda,
natugamba nti omuntu bwagaba ne Uganda,
and he's running away,
ngadduka,
the people will trip him with the foot,
abantu bamutega engwala,
and everybody will start punching him,
buli omu n'atandika bwe batamukuba mayinja nakumwokya bipiira,
and maybe hitting him with a cane until the police come,
bakuba mboko naye ennaku zino matofaali nno sebe mboko zakaddiwa,
because he's stealing,
kubanga bye.
One of the Ten Commandments. Pastor was saying some very good things today. And giving you good warning against the New World Order. I travel all over the world.
Nde ntambula amawanga gonna.
And the New World Order is a real thing.
Era kino kye tugamba nti ensengeka y'ensi empya weri.
They're trying to make laws.
Bagezako kola amateeka.
Through the United Nations.
Okuyita mu kibiina ky'amawanga amagatte.
For everyone.
Nga bagakolera buli omu.
Do you know what one of those laws is?
Etteeka erimu ku ago olimanyi.
If you believe,
bw'obanga okkiriza,
as I believe,
nga bwe nzikiriza,
that Yeshua,
nti Yesu,
is the only way to salvation,
ly'ekkubo lyokka ery'obulokozi,
There is no salvation in Islam. There is no salvation in Hinduism. There isn't even salvation in Judaism. But there's only salvation in the person of Yeshua. But according to United Nations, if you believe that, it's a hate crime. It's a crime against humanity. Because you're not showing tolerance for other people. Does Yahweh believe in freedom of religion? That's not what our Bible says. He said, put the pagan people away from you to be pure before him. But the New World Order doesn't believe that.
Na yeno, chibina cha mawanga magate cho chigamba, demberi obuntu, muleke, demberi ya kilisebi ya yagala, mufeko.
There are very, very serious times coming on this world.
Erobu ndabuja mamaso, murokole wachi njule njule, tulikuraba.
And you have to know what's important in your belief system.
Na yoli no kumanyebi kuru mubiyo kiliza biebiriwa.
If you don't have anything to die for, then you don't have anything to live for. And we must be willing to die for the covenant that we're under. And we must be willing to give our life for the belief in Yeshua. Now let's get back to this covenant because it's very important. You'll see there's only eternal life for people in the covenant. Yet the covenant says it's with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Now you may be asking yourself, where does that leave you? First, let me tell you physically your history. And then we'll talk spiritually. We talked about there were 12 sons of Israel. And they had children. And they lived in Egypt. And we all know the story how Yahweh took Moses and the sons of Israel out of Egypt to the land of Israel. The promised land. And what you'll find out about this covenant I'm talking about, there's three things that never change in the covenant. First thing is the people the covenant is promised to.
Abantu endagaano b'esuubiziddwa tebakyuka.
The second thing is the land of the promise.
Ekyokubiri ensi y'ekisuubizo tekyuka.
And the third thing is the law.
Ekyokusatu amateeka agagoberera endagaano tegakyuka.
All throughout the Bible you'll never see that change.
Bayibuli yonna tolaba kifo nga kikyuse, ensi ng'ekyuse, ekisuubizo nga kikyuse n'amateeka gaako.
The covenant is always between Yahweh and the house of Israel.
Endagaano lubeerera ebeera wakati wa Yakuwa n'ennyumba ya Isirayiri.
His law or Torah stands forever.
Awo amateeka ge ganyorere ennaku zonna tajja kukyusaamu agaiti kakati muli baddembe okutta.
And the promise is not heaven.
Ate ekisuubizo si ggulu.
But eternal life in the land of Israel.
Ekisuubizo bulamu obutaggwaawo mu nnyumba ya mu nsi ya Isirayiri.
Now if you were a child of one of the sons of Israel,
singa ng'oli omu ku baana b'abatabani ba Yakobo,
you could probably understand that.
Wandibadde okitegeera bulungi ekyo.
Because your great 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 grandfather would have been named Dan or Naphtali or Simeon or Judah. And they would have been living in Israel. And they would have been being blessed in that land. But in Deuteronomy 26, Deuteronomy 28, and Leviticus 26, Yahweh told the children of Israel,
Yahweh agamba abana ba Israeli,
that they must be obedient to his law,
tibali no gondera mateka age,
to be blessed in the land.
Bali okaba obomukisa munsi yabwe.
And if they weren't obedient,
bwe bajemera,
the land was going to kick them out.
Ensi egenda kubasesema, bwe yagamba.
Let's read a couple of these scriptures.
Nasubisomeko ko bino birabe.
We'll go to Deuteronomy.
Tusokere mu kya mateka.
I'll start in chapter 8.
Ansokere musura yomunane cha mateka.
Verse 1.
Orusoka.
It says, all the commandments which I command you this day shall you observe to do.
Atandikale biragiro byenkolagira lero, onekumango kubikola gwe.
That you may live.
Oliokobere.
And multiply.
Ero kubisibwemo.
And go in to possess the land which I swore to your father, says Yahweh.
Ero ingiro kusikirensi, jenaga wabajajabo, bwayogera mokama.
So you see, they had to obey these commandments.
Alina kugondera mateka baliokaba sikirensi.
To be blessed.
Baliokaba wawo mukisa.
And look what happens in verse 11 if they forget his commandments.
Kati olekumi norumu, singa bava kumateka nebiragiro byabawadde chechi bawo.
He says, beware that you not forget Yahweh, your Elohim.
Agatikale mwekume, mulemo kwera bila mokama katonda wamwe.
And keeping his commandments.
Mokokumanga mateka.
And its judgments. And its statutes. Which I command you this day. If we go to Deuteronomy 11. Or actually go back first to 10. And verse 12. And now Israel. What does Yahweh your Elohim require of you? But to fear Yahweh your Elohim. To walk in his ways. And to love him. And to serve him. With all your heart, your soul. With all your heart and with all your soul. To keep the commandments of Yahweh. And his statutes. Which I command you this day for your good. Do you believe that? Do you believe that all the laws of Yahweh are for your good? The pastors don't believe it. They want to tell you the laws nailed to the cross. That it's a burden. And Yahweh says it's for your good. Thank Yahweh that you have a pastor like Nehemiah.
Amen.
A man standing in the wilderness that will come out and speak the truth. Because this is the same lie the devil told Adam and Eve. Yahweh said everything is perfect. He said this tree is good. But this tree will kill you. And what was the lie the devil told Adam and Eve? That they can disobey Yahweh and they'll live. He said, the devil said to them, when you eat this tree, you will not die. But you'll be just like Yahweh. And he's using the pastors today to tell the same lie. The law is nailed to the cross. You can break the commandments. And it doesn't matter because of the love of Jesus. But Yahweh says his laws are for our good. And as we see, according to the covenant agreement, we must obey the commandments. It's part of our covenant. Now, some might say, well, Don, that's Old Testament. But we just read in the book of Hebrews. And the new covenant, the law is still in our hearts. Let's look at what Yahweh says about people who are against his law. Go to the book of 1 John.
Chapter 1, verse 14.
Chapter 2, and verse
3.
And hereby we know that we know him,
Yahweh,
if we keep his commandments. He that says, I know him, talking about Yeshua, and keeps not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keeps his word, in him verily is the love of Yahweh perfected. Hereby know that we are in him. He that says he abides in Yeshua ought himself also to walk even as Yeshua walked. Did Yeshua keep the commandments? Did he tell us to keep the commandments? Go to Matthew 5. Matthew the 5th chapter. Verse 17. Think not that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I came not to destroy, but to magnify. And in Greek, that word magnify means to put under a magnifying glass. To make bigger. Not to take away from it. He says, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. I was telling you yesterday that in Hebrew they only have consonants, they don't have vowels. These jots and tittles are the tiny points for the vowels. So we say not even the smallest part of the Torah can be done away with. And then he says, whosoever there shall break one of these least commandments and teach men to also break them, shall be least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So was Yeshua teaching we need to keep the commandments? Do you really need to keep the commandments to get eternal life? Let's let Yeshua answer that question. Matthew 19,
in
verse 16. And behold, one came to him and said, good master, What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said to me, why do you call me good? There is none good but one, Yahweh. But if you will enter into eternal life, keep the commandments. Is there any doubt?
Mbuza.
That's our Savior. Not one word can be broken. So very clearly, and it's important to understand, part of our covenant agreement is that we need to obey the commandments. Are we saved by the commandments? No, we're saved by the blood of Yeshua. But it's a covenant of faith. And if Yahweh is perfect, which He is, and everything in His law is for our good, then in faith we must believe that. And in faith we must obey. The way Abraham did. The father of this covenant. Did you ever think about the faith Abraham had? That even when Yahweh told him to kill his son, the very heir of the promise, we read it, Isaac. And do you think Abraham understood why? You know you wouldn't understand why. Abraham didn't know why. But in the book of Hebrews, the only thing in his mind he thought, that if Yahweh promised eternal life through Isaac, then if he killed Isaac, Yahweh would raise him up. Abraham's faith was in the resurrection. Do you remember when Abraham was going with Isaac for the sacrifice? And Isaac carried the beam? The same way Yeshua carried the cross beam. You see a lot of parallels with Father Abraham and Father Yahweh. Let's get back to the story of the covenant. It's one of the most important things you need to know in your life. Because there's only eternal life for people in the covenant. There's no eternal life outside of Yahweh's covenant. And what did we say? The covenant was made with the sons of Israel? And he gave them his eternal law? And he brought them to the land of Israel? They had everything. But is that the end of the story? No. No. How come? Was Israel faithful once they got to the land? They weren't. Let's go to Ezekiel 20.
Ebyawandiike wano Bible Study jukira bwoba omanyidde katundu k'olunyiriri bino tujja kubisoma bingi.
And let's read a little bit about Israel's unfaithfulness.
Kati obutali bwesigwa bwa Isirayiri mweze ekyeri.
Verse 19.
That's chapter
20. Ezekiel 20, actually, I'll start in verse 12. Moreover, I gave Israel my Sabbaths. to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am Yahweh that sanctifies them. And tomorrow we're going to talk about the importance of the Sabbath day. But look at verse 13. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They walk not in my statutes, and they despise my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. And my Sabbaths they greatly polluted. Then I said, I will pour out my fury on them in the wilderness to consume them. But I wrought for my namesake, that it should not be polluted before the heathen whose sight I brought them out. If we go to verse 19, I am Yahweh your Elohim. Walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. And keep holy my Sabbaths. And they shall be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am Yahweh your Elohim. Notwithstanding, the children of Israel rebelled against me. They walked not in my statutes, neither kept my judgments to do them. Which if a man does them, he will even live in them. They polluted my Sabbaths. Then I said, I will pour out my fury on them to accomplish my anger against them in the wilderness. This is exactly what the pastors are doing today. They're saying the law is done away. They're trampling on Yahweh's Sabbaths and they're walking in the ways of the pagans among them. Keeping all the pagan days. Now a little about my background. I've studied history for 20 years. Mostly biblical history and the nations that surround Israel. Me and my wife work in Israel with archaeology. Yahweh has even blessed us to open up a Bible school in Israel. And it deals also with archaeology. The Israeli Antiquities Department works with our school. And some of the top archaeologists in the world are the teachers at our school. I only tell you this because I can say I speak as an authority when it comes to some of these history things. Because the next few minutes now, I want to share with you some history what happened from here. To the sons of Israel. Pastor has my book. I have proof for all the things I'm going to say in the book. And I'm
going to
leave extra books with him. And they can be photocopied. The first thing you'll see at my book in big letters, this book is not to be sold. The word of Yahweh is not for sale. And it's the worst abomination the pastors are doing. Selling the word of Yahweh. But that's another day. So let me tell you the history now, what happened after Israel rejected this covenant. They were cast out of the land of Israel. In 723 BC, Shalmaneser, a king from Assyria, and Sargon II, his general, they came to Israel and they took these people captive. You could read it in 2 Kings 17. And they were scattered all over and taken in captivity. The only tribe left was the tribe of Judah. The Jews today. Now, why was Judah left? Tells it in Romans 3. Because they kept the oracles of
Yahweh.
Yahweh kept them to preserve the Bible for us today. If all 12 tribes went into captivity and were lost, we wouldn't have this book today. Now, as far as history of the New World Order, that is the last you hear of the tribes of Israel. They don't exist anymore. But that's not what Yahweh's word says. Look at what Yahweh's word says about the house of Israel in the end days. Go to Amos 9.
Amos 9.
Amos 9.
Amos 9. Amos 9. Amos 9. Amos 9. Amos 9.
I'll start in verse
9.
He says, "For lo, I will command." Verse
9
of Amos
9.
"For lo, I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among the nations, like as corn is sifted in a sieve. Yet shall not the least grain fall to the ground." In verse 14, "And I will bring back again the captivity of my people Israel, and they shall build the way city and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine, and they will make gardens and eat the fruit of them, and I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land which I have given to them, saith Yahweh." Now, what does that have to do with you? Although the New World Order's history will tell you these tribes disappeared, they couldn't have disappeared. Because prophecy says in the end time, Yahweh will bring them back to their own land, to Israel.
Israeli abajije basasani yatangire kayo wadom.
Amen. Now let me tell you something about history that is very interesting. Several years ago, they were doing archaeology in ancient Assyria, and they found the annals of the king. And it talked about when Israel went into captivity in
723
BC. But it said only 27,000 people were taken.
Na yenga binyonyola nti mu busibe mu basuli ba Hezbola twatwala yabantu mitwale ebiri mukasanvu boka.
And yet there were millions of Israelites.
Na bi ba Israeli bali mu jende monsi ababalala basigala wa.
Where did the rest of them go?
Abalala bagenda wa ebwasuli batwala mitwale ebiri mukasanvu.
If you read the book of Hosea,
Mosome chabo cha Hosea,
it clearly talks about Israel's captivity. And all the people knew it. Just think about it. If you knew that in 6 months, people were going to come into your land and take you prisoner somewhere, would you just stay there? If you knew for sure it was going
to
happen, no. You would try to get out. And that's exactly what Israel did. My book and other books historically document all of this. There is no doubt about it. So where did Israel go? Some of them went to the north, to a place called Parthia. Parthia is on the Black and Caspian Sea,
where
Ukraine and Russia are. Many from the tribe of Ephraim went up there. And do you know they even found graves of Israelites up there? They found all kinds of archaeological remains that these people went there. And even the name of the people were
Saka,
which in their language means sons of
Isaac.
Some of them went to the east, to places like Afghanistan, and even as far as China. And there are even tribes today in
Afghanistan
and Pakistan that claim to be remnants of these tribes. This was even on the History Channel. And they have proof from over 1,500 years that they're Israelites. Even documents of all the forefathers. Others went to the west toward Europe. Do you know the country of Denmark? Do you know why it's called Denmark? Because the tribe of Dan went there. And in the Bible, Dan put his name anywhere he went. So they called it Dan's Mark. Some of them even wound up in the area of Great Britain. Do you know what the word British really means in Hebrew? In Hebrew, the word Brit means covenant. And the word
ish
means man. So British are men of the covenant. They're also called Anglo-Saxons.
Anglo-Saxons,
sons of Isaac.
Baba batabani ba Isaac, Anglo-Isaac, batabani ba Isaac.
And that's where it comes from. Many from the tribe of Dan went to Ireland.
Bandi baba miskacha dani vagenda mosia Ireland.
And today many of the names from Dan are still there in Ireland.
Era mosia Ireland and verses Stuart. Yola baba anyaga badani bandi ago.
And again, all this is in great detail in my
book.
Now I want to talk about where the other tribes went though. Actually, the first ones to leave. The first tribes to leave. They went to the south. To a place called Carthage. Have you ever heard about the Carthage Empire? You can read about it in history. Carthage Empire was in the area of Tunisia, Libya, Tunis, and Egypt. All the northern Africa. And from there, they migrated south. They migrated to areas like Kenya. South Africa. Ethiopia. And Uganda. So literally, your ancestors, not only spiritually, but physically, can be Israelites. You know of the Felucia Jews from Ethiopia? I meet many of them in Israel. The rabbis accept them as brothers. And but did you also know that your brothers in Rwanda that are having fighting with the Hutus and the Tutsis, what is that fighting about? They're telling the Tutsis, you don't belong here. We don't want
you.
And the rabbis in Israel have accepted the Tutsis as Israelites. So this is not fiction. I read the scripture in
Amos
that Yahweh said that he will send his people around the world in captivity. But like as he sifts his people through a sieve, not one would fall to the ground. Now, what if you're not Israelite? Which I can guarantee most of you are. Because it's a promise to Abraham that his physical seed would be these descendants. But Yahweh's not respecting a person. So if you're a Gentile and not Israelites, but you love Yahweh with all your heart and mind and soul, Yahweh allows you to join the covenant. Let's go to Galatians. Galatians 3rd chapter.
Verse
27.
I'll
start in verse 26. For you are all the children of Yahweh by faith in Yeshua Messiah. For as many of you as have been baptized into Messiah have put on Messiah. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For we are all one in Yeshua Messiah. And why is that? Look at verse 29. Because if you be in Messiah, then you are Abraham's seed and an heir according to the promise. So we have to remember, this is very important. There's only a covenant with the house of Israel. The promise is to be in the land of Israel. And the requirement is to obey the law of Yahweh. But because Yahweh knows we're human and will sin, He sent His Son down as a man, but not only a man, as the very seed of Abraham, through Isaac, to die for our sins, so that we could be clean before Yahweh. But Yahweh never forgot His promise to Abraham. And as His people were scattered around the earth, Yahweh knew everyone. He knew you before you were born. And He knew your father. And his father. And his father. Because Yahweh in the end time is waking up the children of Israel and getting ready to bring us back to the land during the millennium. Let me read your scripture about that. Micah the 4th chapter. Micah 4. But in the last days, are we living in the last days? It shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of Yahweh shall be established in the top of mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall say, come and let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh, to the house of the Elohim of Yaakov, and He will teach us of His ways, and we will walk in His path. For the law will go forth out of Zion, and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem, and He will judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift the sword against Nathan, neither shall they learn war anymore. This is the promise of Yahweh. Now remember the story about our forefathers, the sons of Israel. What got them into the nations to begin with. Breaking the Father's law. And going after the way of the pagans. And for 2,500 years, our fathers have been going the same way. But now, in the end of days, when the top of the mountain of the house of Yahweh is being established, it is very holy city Jerusalem. He is waking his people up, and he is calling them out from the pagan ways back to the truth of the covenant. How excited is that for you? Let's go to Ezekiel 36. There's so many scriptures that talk about Yahweh calling back the sons of Israel in the end. Ezekiel 36. Verse 1. Also, son of man, prophesy to the mountains of Israel, and say, you mountains of Israel, hear the word of Yahweh. Now let me tell you a little background about this verse. Ezekiel was written in the year 570 BC. But Israel, the nation, went into captivity in
723
BC. So this was written 150 years after Israel was already in
captivity.
And that's why he's saying, talk to the mountains of Israel. In scripture, mountains means countries. And let's look what he says now, because he's talking to us. Israelites that are living in captivity. And he's telling us what he's going to do with his people in the end of days. I won't read the beginning where he talked about Israel going into captivity. But I want to read about what he says about today. Starting in verse 24. For I will take you from among the heathen, and I will gather you out of all countries. That includes Uganda. And I will bring you back to your own land. Brethren, never forget. You're living in Uganda. You're Yahweh's ambassador for Uganda. But your homeland is Israel. Verse 25. The waters of baptism. And from all your filthiness and your idols I will cleanse you. And a new heart I will give you. And a new spirit I will put within you. And I will take away the stony heart of your flesh. And I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you. And I will cause you to walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. Doesn't it sound exactly like the new covenant? 28, and you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you will be my people, and I will be your Elohim. How wonderful. And a verse that's being fulfilled today, verse 38, as the holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feast, so shall all the way cities be filled with flocks of men, and they will know that I am Yahweh. Yahweh has blessed me to be able to host his Feast of Tabernacles in Jerusalem. And we bring brethren from all over the world come there and feast time to praise Yahweh. We have people from America, Australia, Europe, Kenya, South America, and all over. And we hope now Uganda will represent Yahweh in its holy city of Jerusalem. Because it's an honor to go there for him.
Amen.
And that's why it's important that Israel is a nation again today. And it's important that they don't give away our land. The New World Order wants to divide the land of Israel. But they don't want to divide the land of the Jews. You know whose land they want to give away? Ephraim. The land of Israel. See, Judah is already back in their land. But the northern tribes were not back yet. And Yahweh is getting ready to clear that land for our return. And that's why Satan wants to give that land to the Palestinians. But it won't work. Leviticus 25:23. The land is mine, saith Yahweh, it shall never be sold. So their plan is not going to work. Brethren, it's so important that you understand these things. So important. Because again, Yahweh is one. And his covenant is one. And his people are one. And his law is one. Malachi 3:6 says, I am Yahweh, I change not. And for that reason, the sons of Israel are not consumed. See, Yahweh's not calling us back because of our goodness. He's calling us back because of his faithfulness. 1 Timothy says, if you deny me, I'll deny you. Then it says, but if you're unfaithful, I will continue to be faithful. Because I can't be unfaithful to myself. Is it important to know that you're a literal son of Israel? Yes and no. As far as being in Messiah,
okubera Masiya,
it's not important.
Si chikuru nyo.
Because like I said,
kubanga nawe nagambye,
whether you're Israelite,
oboli mu Israeli,
or Gentile,
oboli mwana gwaba,
or Chinese,
oba mu China,
it doesn't matter.
Ye Yesu arokora.
Because once you come into Messiah,
kubanga boyingira Masiya,
we are an heir of Abraham.
Fena tuba basika abuna Ibrahim.
But to Yahweh,
na ye Yahweh,
and his promise to Abraham, it is very important that Israelites are sitting in these chairs.
Because
he said to Abraham that your seed will inherit the land. And he didn't say that seed was China. He didn't say that seed was India. He didn't say that seed was America. He said, through your seed, Isaac. The very seed that Yeshua was born through. So I pray that you're blessed by this message. And I thank Yahweh that he allowed me here today to bring this message to my physical and spiritual brothers and sisters.